you that I have ears to hear,
eyes to see,
and my spirit is perceiving.
You're on our case. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share with you a little bit about the response that came through Robin Bullock. And during the night, the Lord, you know, reminded me. Celebrating His grace and the saints in New England, etc., and the area that we cover, okay? And I did hear loud and clear Romans 12:1. Now, most of you know Romans 12:1. Mm-hmm. Take your body as a living sacrifice before the Lord. So that's where I began. Then after that, He said to me, I have never commanded you to do anything for me and forced you to do it or become anything that would harm you. So know that I do not change. I'm always to respect you and your free will. And I don't demand obedience of anyone. So be assured I will work with them as I have worked with you. Trust me. I said, okay, God. You know, I shook my head because, again, you know, usually there's a preparation to take us deeper with the knowledge of Him. Not always in a major dark winter. If we had a dark winter last year, and now from what we hear, and seems to be confirmed through the book, because He's the one that had heard about the possibility of someone not getting the results that are needed in order to control to the next level. And my prayer is that the ace in the hole will show up, that there will be a trump card played. And when that happens, the transition will begin. That was part of my conversation with our young man from Canada. So I want you to come with me to the Romans 12:1 in the Passion Translation and see the different wording that gives us clear instructions. And it's headed by the words, the transforming power of the good news. Transforming is taking place in us as we go forward. And you've heard from each other what God is doing. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourself to God to be His sacred living sacrifice. I said, ouch. To surrender yourself to God to be His sacred living sacrifice. And live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. All that delights His heart. Not about me, myself, and I. About what God is delighted with as we go forward. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So now, if it becomes your genuine expression of worship, what you and I have understood as worship is probably ground level. And this area is going up higher as you live under his anointing, guided by his spirit, obeying what Papa shows you to do, and then carrying it out as a commission. Verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Oh, boy. Okay. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. And there's a footnote. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this present age. Paul uses the Greek word aeon, which means spaces of time or present time. The Aramaic word carries the same idea, but it is much deeper in meaning. It's to surround, like being surrounded in time. Paul is warning us not to be conformed to this world surrounded by time, this temporal world coming to an end. We are not to squeeze into the mold of this world system that is falling apart. I said, okay. That definitely related to my conversation with Ron. Because again, some of the downloads that he gave me, I'm not ready to open up. Because again, you know, there are some things that you need to keep and you need to intercede for and wait for the Lord to speak. So the point that I'm bringing right now, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. That includes relatives. Okay? It includes those that you're connected to that cannot see what you see. And again, the self trying to get the word across and awaken them is not going to work. And I think most of you know what I'm talking about. The more you open up, the greater the depth of that hole that you're actually digging yourself into. He says, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. The word transformed and transfigured is the same. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. That's your witness, Gail. That's exactly what you shared. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Your proper role in the body of Christ. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. We've talked about pride before. What does pride do? It destroys. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your own importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with appreciate self-esteem. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is with the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the other. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. Now that relates, doesn't it? If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. Transform relationships. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another, and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. That should tell you something about what we're being told to do. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believer as members of one family. Try to outdo yourself in respect and honor of another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion towards Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in times of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them, and eagerly welcome people as guests in your home. Speak blessings, not cursings, over those who reject and persecute you. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. Speak blessings, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. Celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony. And be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do mental tasks and identify with those who are humble minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. As I was reading that during the night, I saw somebody's face who took advantage of my wife and I to take advantage, lied to us, had us sign a false contract, and literally stole a large sum of money. And I said, Lord, is there a leftover in my heart about this? Okay. What, and if there is something to do, what do I do? And he said, you're still hurting. That should give you a clue. I know that this was quite a few years ago. It was someone that's in this house, that was part of this house for a while, and obviously after they took advantage of us, never showed back up. Never did what was promised. And I said to the Lord, am I truly angry? And he said, no. In fact, trying to remember the person's name became foggy. And I said, I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to protect me. And I didn't get a response. But the vengeance is the Lord's. And he will repay. That's what he says. And I have a sense that, you know, when you know someone has taken advantage of you and they call themselves a believer and they advertise their abilities and you knew enough to trust and then they betray your trust, it's difficult to walk and keep on walking and not retaliate. So I still am waiting, and if there is something more that I need to do, I will definitely do it. Now, as odd as that may sound, the person who did this there was, I would say, maybe 8 to 9 months of communication. Just pushing me off to tomorrow, pushing me off to tomorrow. Oh, well, later we'll do this issue, that issue, so which was all lies. Okay? Yet, their track record before they did this was pretty healthy because I had checked. So, what am I saying to you? Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. I believe I did that, to the best of my ability at that time. If there's more for me to do down the next road, which I don't know whether he will open up something more or not. All I know is there was a question mark. Okay? And that's what I put on. I put on a question mark and I said, Lord, don't let me off the hook if there's something more that I need to do. If there's for me to reach out one more time when you tell me to, I will reach out if I need to. I know how to do that. Okay? But then he goes on, beloved, don't be obsessed with taking vengeance. The hardest part after we were betrayed was watching the arrogance that continued to be produced from this individual. And even the people that this individual had no clue, including family members. And I've never said anything. The communication with some of the family members continued for about 3.5 years until one day the Lord you tell that other person the truth. And I never got a call after that. Never was able to communicate after that. I'm giving you that so to show you the depth of deception, lies, and manipulation that are available in the church. And at one point, it said, never hold a grudge. I wanted to go and talk to that man's pastor because they were part of another church. They used to visit, but they were part of another church. The Lord said, will you let it go? And I can tell you that I didn't want to let it go. I didn't want to. Okay. So I think the reason that he's having me open this up is to let you know that I've tasted betrayal to the tune of $7,000. Did it hurt? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it hurt. Because that was money set aside to do something that we still could not afford to have done now because we couldn't do it. How do you let go? You choose and you re-choose and you re-choose to forgive. And you do it as often as you possibly can until you believe it. Because you won't believe it until you're free of the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, all of the attributes of the soul that want to retaliate and teach somebody how to be a believer and to be honest. All those temptations happened at that time. And it's over 10 years ago. So hear me when I say this. They took advantage of both of us. My wife and I were definitely wounded on that one. It was not comfortable. Have we forgiven? I believe we have. But is there a memory of the insults and the betrayal? Yes, there is. And periodically, the emotions, more so with my wife than it is for me, my emotions have more or less been, I would say, cleansed of that hurt. She still has some issues that I can see. And that's another piece of the puzzle that I can't respond to because the duct tape is still on. Because if I say, you know, this or this or that, it's just not going to produce any good fruit. Okay? So, judgment and vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. When I wanted to connect with this person's background people and friends or church relationship, the Lord said, no. Your emotions are too raw. Meaning I probably wouldn't have been able to hold my tongue to the way that it needed to be held. See, verse 21, never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. My defeat with good was to be quiet and to let the Lord do the next level. I wanted to know if he needed a helper. He reminded me I can do this job
perfectly fine by myself. I don't need your help. Thank you.
But I did volunteer.
And he sees the heart.
Huh?
He sees the heart.
Yes, he does. And have we survived? Yes.
Yes.
All I can tell you is only Holy Spirit has the ability to carry you in those kind of situations.
Amen.
Because they are painful.
Yes.
And watching Holy Spirit do a work in me to that degree is very, very comforting. To be able to say it doesn't hurt anymore, that's a real thing. You know, it's not make-believe. All I know is he promised to turn this into good. I don't know how. But he did promise to do something good here. So, would you lift your hand to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit,
hold me tight.
Because any injuries that I've heard
that
happened to me,
I need to release them to you.
If you would bring them to my heart right now,
I'm going to choose
to let Heavenly Father
do the judging.
Because I don't do well with my emotions.
Well,
especially when they're raw.
When they're raw.
I give you the praise.
As the grace continues to fill me.
So that your purpose and plan
will unfold
as we go forward in obedience.
As
believers of the Most High God.
As believers of the Most High God.
I thank you.
El Elyon.
You are the Most High God.
You're continuing to cut away.
And circumcise my heart.
Keep cutting away.
Anything
that would hold me
from your best.
Thank you, Jesus,
for being the intercessor
that kept me from going in the wrong direction.
Salvation
took place
when you gave me grace,
and it's still going forward.
Give me the favor
that I need to continue
to stay in obedience.
As you've called me forth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory.